Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Today we have a great show. We're meeting with Tarek Farid, and Tarek is the CEO and founder of Edible Arrangements International. And today, Edible Arrangements has more than 730 locations and have been named by Inc. and Entrepreneur magazines as one of the fastest-growing franchises of 2006 and 2007, and one of the top franchise systems in Entrepreneur's annual Franchise 500 magazine in 2007 and 2008. Arrangements from Edible Arrangements are hand-sculpted arrangements of high-quality, fresh-cut fruit style to resemble floral arrangements, and that's coming up in Segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. Our first segment today is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews LLC, and Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close and behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys, and our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And don't forget to check out our new podcast called Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. And Don, welcome back to another edition of Franchise Interviews. How's your week going, my friend?
Going well, Marty. How are you?
Good. Beautiful day out here in Pennsylvania today.
Yeah, we've had a nice stretch of weather. The holiday weekend was very nice here in our part of the country.
Right. We made it to Memorial Day, you know, so it's summer's almost here.
Yeah, I mean, I consider it, I guess traditionally, as soon as it's Memorial Day, I always think of it as summer.
That's true.
Starting.
It was a little weird this year, right? It came early, I guess. I'm so used to Memorial Day being like on the 31st or,
right.
You know, so it was a little strange, you know, but yeah, it's nice to know that summer's here. I know you usually have pretty busy summers, don't you?
Yeah, just a lot planned, which is good and bad, you know. I'm the type of guy who sometimes doesn't like too much planned.
Exactly.
But in the summer, it's just a good time. You know, you see more friends and family and everything, go down to the shore. It's nice. Tomorrow's my 10-year wedding anniversary.
So. Oh, you're kidding. Oh,
yeah.
Congratulations. You made it, huh?
Made it. Well, it's have to get to tomorrow.
That's true. Who knows, right? Well, that's great. That's a milestone, you know, so
yeah.
That's fantastic. Our last show, Don, we met with Joel Labava, who is a franchise industry veteran and a friend to our show. And Joel discussed his new ebook, The Essential Steps to Researching a Franchise Opportunity. Thought it was a very informative show. What were your thoughts on last week?
Yeah, I mean, as always, Joel always offers great advice, of course, to the potential franchise owner. I mean, he emphasizes you have to really do your research to not make a quick decision. Even says, I guess, investing in a business of your own is risky to begin with, franchise or not. So he really just reconfirmed a lot about what we always talk about on our shows and with our guests about investing in a franchise. Like you say, it's not for everybody. Just make sure you do your homework. It's a big, big decision, of course.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So this ebook will show you exactly how to research opportunities you're looking at, increase your chances of success by learning how to become an expert franchise researcher. And I'm glad that Joel wrote the book, Don, because, you know, when you think about the whole research process, I mean, it's really a skill if you think about it. How are these prospective franchisees actually researching a franchise? Are they just calling, let's say, a Subway up and saying, hi, I'm possibly interested in becoming a franchisee for Subway. Can you tell me a little bit about your experience? You know, I mean, you have to ask the right questions. And how are you even recording this information? Do you have a notebook? Are you, like, taking notes? Are you recording the conversation? Because if you remember Julie Bennett, the author of the Franchise Times book, she said you should talk to, was it at least 60 franchises before you actually make a decision on a particular system.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot, you know. So how do you remember who said what, you know? So just the whole research process, I think, is such a critical element to making a very safe decision. So I was really glad that that Joel wrote the book.
And it's always not just from all your research finding out that, hey, it's a solid franchise. You have to find out if you feel you're a right fit for that type of franchise and the type of work you're going to be doing,
right.
The number of hours. So there's the whole personal element as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of variables involved in this whole process. So I'm glad that Joel wrote the book. And again, we have the book on our website, franchiseinterviews.com. We do have a franchise book section. If you kind of scroll down, there's a big visual of the book. You can actually click and order it today. It's one of those must-reads in franchising. So, and again, we'll have to have Joel back on the show in the future. He's so good at his job, you know, and he's got that great radio voice too.
Right, right.
You know, so.
And him being and knowing franchising so well, I asked him the question about what industry he really feels is really going well right now. He mentioned the senior care.
That's
industry.
Right, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think we have a senior care. Actually, have a senior care coming up in the near future too, Don.
Right, we've had a few on. I guess right on June 19th. Always Best Care.
Right. It was interesting. In 1999, I did an interview with the. It was my first big interview with the LA Times, and they asked me, "So, what industries do you think are going to explode?" And I called it right that one. Thank God, you know, I still have the article. I said, you know, look towards the senior care industry and.
That was about 10 years ago.
It was a while ago, so I did good on that one, didn't I?
Yeah, visionary.
But anyway, what do we have going on today, Don, and over the next, is it month and a half? We got a busy schedule, don't we?
Yeah, definitely a lot of stuff happening today. Like you said, Tarek Fareed, CEO, president, owner of Edible Arrangements, company I know well.
And we're both customers to Edible Arrangements, too, which makes it interesting for us, doesn't it, because we've actually use the service. So, and
right.
It's an incredible service, by the way. So I think that's why you and I were also so excited to have Tarek on the show today.
Definitely. They started in 99, Marty, out of East Haven, Connecticut. They've been franchising since 2001.
Right.
Just recently in 06, they launched Fruitation, a new concept that will take fresh fruit products to the next level. So he'll be telling us all about that.
Absolutely.
June 5th, we're meeting with Chris Cheek of Brugger's Bakery Cafe franchise.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. That's a different concept, isn't it? I don't think we've had that kind of concept on the show before, so
right.
It should be interesting.
Yeah, so happy to get that show going. That'll be next week. June 19th, like I said earlier, meeting with Michael Newman, the founder of ABC, Always Best Care.
Right, that's right. Talking of the senior care industry, right?
Right.
There you go. Actually, Don, on the week before that, June 12th, I just posted it up on the show page last night. Express Employment Professionals, we're having them on the show on June 12th. They're the fastest, and I know you're familiar with this company, they're the fastest growing company in the $90 billion staffing industry. They offer a business-to-business franchise that creates a higher level of success and quality of life benefits. They succeeded because their business model blends caring support with their strong professional drive. And I've heard great things about this franchise as well, so we're having them on the show on June 12th, just so our listeners
Express
know.
Personnel Services, yeah, very well known. That'll be great. On June 26th, we're meeting with the franchise Sterling Optical.
Yeah, wow, great.
They opened their first store in the Financial District, New York City, in 1914.
Wow. I was just there, you know, last week, actually, getting my eyes checked.
Wow. They have over 200 locations nationwide. They've been repeatedly named by Crain's Franchise Buyer and by Entrepreneur Magazine as one of the top franchise operators in the United States.
Wow, that's fantastic. You know, I think a lot of people, I don't even think they know that Sterling Optical is a franchise.
Right.
I have that feeling, you know. So, yeah. It's going to be exciting to have them on the show and, you know, talk about that franchise opportunity. That's interesting. Another concept that we really haven't had on
right.
the show yet, you know. So,
yeah, we're going to have out of the next four or five shows about three different concepts we've never had on before.
Exactly, yeah, which makes the show so interesting is the diversity of the show. You
right.
know? It's fantastic. Here's an interesting article or a question, Don. How much do you think the average American family spends on fast food per year? Did you see the article?
Yes.
You did? Okay, so you know the answer, but the answer is $500 a year. It says, your fast food fixed cost, $500 a year. A few facts about America's love affair with on-the-go grub. And the article is by Jonathan Lemonnier, and it's from one of my favorite magazines, Advertising Age. It was published May 26, 2008. Just a couple of things. It says, despite American society's continuing obsession with health and healthful eating, fast food remains its close-up paramour, according to the Fast Food Nation 2008. A consumer perspective on the fast food industry, a study by the Chicago-based Research International USA. The findings, based on a panel of 1,000 people between the ages of 16 years old to 65 years old, who responded to an online survey, reveal that fast food remains quite popular and the consumers have a positive attitude towards the industry, especially during recessionary times. It says the most remarkable finding for the Research International VP Client Services, Alexander Kleichfeld, was the importance of high-frequency consumers of the industry. And it says Meals of Industry. It says the average American spends $500 a year on fast food, making the industry a major part of our economy. Half of the population eats fast food once a week, with 20% eating every other day. Some 14% of the population accounts for almost half of all fast food sales. So it's kind of interesting, isn't it? And now we see a lot of franchises like your Subways or your Wendy's. I think they've recently added breakfast to their menus as well, haven't they?
Right, yeah, we talked about different companies, like even Dunkin' Donuts, I think,
offering
pizza.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's just there's a lot going on. So you kind of understand why a lot of these big-name franchisers, even the smaller ones, are getting into the whole thing. You know,
and I think that $500 a year might be a little conservative. It's a $40 a month.
I would say so, yeah. You know, and again, it depends. You know, living in the northeast part of the country, you know, where everything is just, you know, pretty expensive. You know, I thought that number was kind of conservative as well. I thought it would be higher than that.
Right.
I don't think, myself personally, we spend, I'm not sure if we spend that much per year. It's hard to,
right.
It's hard to say, but it just goes to show that I mean, it is, the industry is big enough to make a decent living, you know, so.
Right.
And I know you had some interesting topics as well to discuss.
Yeah, here's something, Marty, from QSR Magazine. Arby's franchisee raises more than $90,000 for MDA.
Hmm.
Just here from the end of April. Grant Avenue Development, an Arby's franchisee with 35 locations in New York, Pennsylvania, and Virginia, has raised more than $90,000 to support the Muscular Dystrophy Association's local chapter, the MDA. This year alone, it has raised more than $26,000 for the voluntary health agency working to defeat neuromuscular diseases through programs of worldwide research, comprehensive services, and far-reaching professional and public health education. According to MDA, more than 1 million Americans are affected by neuromuscular diseases. About 250,000 have some form of muscular dystrophy.
Wow.
Locally, money raised helps the MDA chapter fund research and provides many direct services for people with neuromuscular diseases, including assistance in purchasing and repairing wheelchairs and leg braces, assistance in purchasing communication devices, sending kids to MDA summer camps each year at no charge to families. It's very nice. Facilitating support group meetings and conducting an ongoing public education campaign.
Right.
We are proud of our relationship with MDA and support their efforts to aid folks in our local community who are affected by this terrible disease, says Bob Kelly, Senior Vice President of Grant Avenue Development. You know, it's nice to see a story like this and companies raising money for good causes to help people. It's unfortunate a lot of people have this disease, so I thought this was something nice to mention.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. You know, you see a lot of franchisors now, Don, you know, doing things like this, you know, to a lot of these great causes, so I think it's fantastic.
Staying in this category, a franchise, Interstate Batteries Franchise and Development, donates $25,000 to China earthquake relief.
Wow.
I mean, that was a pretty devastating earthquake over in China. They've donated $25,000 to relief efforts such as food, water, blankets to victims of the devastating earthquake in China that killed and injured tens of thousands and left many more homeless.
Yeah.
We feel a strong responsibility to help our friends in China, where many of our products are manufactured, said President of Interstate Batteries Franchise Development, Mickey Ellum. No amount of money will completely ease their suffering, but hopefully join with the outpouring of support from around the globe, we can help them survive these first awful weeks following the tragedy. So it's great, companies and, franchise companies helping out.
Right. China has become, a big friend to the United States. You know, I mean, look at all the businesses moving into China now, so it's...
Right.
Absolutely.
Here's something, Marty, from the Dallas Morning News. Irving franchisor brings assisted living to small towns. We just mentioned Joel LaBava, how he feels very high about the senior care industry in general. And, assisted living is, obviously growing pretty big. This article by Bob Moose, what McDonald's legend Ray Kroc once did for burgers and fries, Dallas area entrepreneur Jack West hopes to do for retirement living.
Hmm.
Franchising has been used to sell everything from fast food to maid service to child care. Now Mr. West's company, Country Place Living, is using it to help bring assisted living centers to small-town America. If you've lived in the same town all your life, you shouldn't have to leave it for the big city when you can't care for yourself anymore, he said. You should be able to grow old with your family and friends nearby.
I agree with that, absolutely.
Mr. West founded the company 5 years ago and has opened 5 assisted living centers in two group homes in small Kansas towns. The privately held company has relocated its main office to Irving and set its sights on expanding in Texas and other states. Country Place will build a number of assisted living centers on its own in North Texas and elsewhere to prime the pump and introduce the brand, but most of its expansion will be through franchises. Since its franchising push started early this year, Country Place Living has received four applications from Texas. The franchisees include a developer, a former nursing home administrator, a home builder, and a physician. Though the aging population has spawned hundreds of franchises that provide in-home care, Mr. West Country Place Communities will be among the first franchises to cater to seniors moving out of their houses.
Right.
It's a logical next step in franchising, given the expected doubling of the older population over the next 25 years, says Alyssa Harrison, an executive with the International Franchise Association. Mr. West is on to something. Almost 1 million Americans live in more than 38,000 assisted living communities, most in cities or their suburbs, and that's according to the Assisted Living Federation of America.
Right, right.
So,
it's a great industry. I love the whole senior care industry in general, Don. You know, I mean, I think this is a franchise that I would certainly, if I was getting into franchising, be interested in. You know, I think it's one of those franchises that you really feel good about yourself at the end of the day. You know, I think you're doing something great, you know. And it's a great article.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, you know, one day, of course, you know, we're going to be old, so it's nice to see that all these type of things are.
And, you know, the competition actually makes it a good thing. Like, you know, I've seen since, you know, because I told you I've been studying this industry since 1999, there's been a lot of competition today, you know, it's 2008. You see a lot more different types of franchises. But I think that's actually a good thing. You know, I think what it does is it makes all the franchisors work harder, you know, for your business, you know, and offer more additional services and provide more value. So,
right.
It's actually, the competition is a great thing. It's not a bad thing.
Definitely. Here's a very good and informative article from Franchising World magazine. You know, actually from 06.
Right.
But really nothing has changed here. This is by Howard Basick. If you're thinking
he's
of buying...
Great. We actually referenced him last week, by the way. I don't know if you remember that. He he is the founder of Frannet. And I think he's retired now, but yeah, Howard Basick is—he actually gave me the idea for my thesis for my MBA, if you can imagine. So he had a big impact on my life. So.
Wow, interesting!
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Small world.
It says, Marty, if you're thinking of buying a franchise, it's important that you understand what you should expect from your franchisor. With thousands of franchises to choose from, you can be sure that there will be many differences in what they offer you and what you can expect. Despite the differences, there are several things you should expect from any franchisor. One, a franchisee should expect the franchisor to have a successful system that can be easily transferred from the franchisor to the franchisee. Mm-hmm. If the system isn't successful or proven, why should you as a franchisee pay for it? Don't put yourself in the position of having someone learn their business on your fees. Two, you should expect the franchisor to spend the time to answer your research questions before you buy.
Right.
There are certain legal restrictions like those concerning earnings representations that may prevent a franchisor from answering some questions. Three, you should expect that your franchisor is someone you feel you will be compatible with. You should like your franchisor and feel that the franchise's vision of the future conforms to your own. It's very important for you to believe in the future plans of the franchise.
Absolutely.
That's a good point. Number four, you should make sure your franchisor and your franchise agreements are fair. The nature of franchise agreement is usually at least somewhat slanted towards the franchisor. The owners of the franchise company have taken a risk and developed the business that you are asking them to teach you. In return, they will want to be protected, and they will want to control certain parts of the system. So we've talked greatly about the importance of, you know, reviewing all paperwork and of course, agreements from the franchisor.
Absolutely.
Five, you should expect your franchisor to help you find a location that is suitable to your needs. Six, you should expect your franchisor to provide you with quality training. Of course, very important. That's a big reason why people invest in a franchise.
Right.
Franchisors typically assume that you have no prior independent ownership experience. That means they not only have to teach you about business, but about the franchisor's specific business. Be certain to talk to some of the newer franchisees and some of their training received was complete enough to get them successfully into business, so that's very important. Number seven, your franchisor should visit you and help you at your location after you have opened the business.
That's important.
Eight, you should expect your franchisor to have the name recognition and or growth possibilities that you feel are needed to give you an advantage in implementing your personal business plan. Nine, Marty, you should expect your franchisor to think of you as an associate, a partner, and as a customer.
True.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Ten, you should expect your franchisor to be future-oriented. It's not enough to have a system that works well today and has succeeded up until now. Businesses like the world around them constantly change.
Yeah. We had the gentleman from Rita's, right?
Right, Jim Rudolph.
Yeah, so I mean, he said the same thing, didn't he? Yeah.
Exactly.
Had all this success, but he's very open to change. That's one thing that's always certain.
Exactly. Your franchisor must have a good, clear vision of the future, and you must agree that the vision is the right one before you buy. And I think that's a good point, because when you're investing in a franchise, you know it's successful now, you like it, but you're not really thinking, hey, what's the future of the franchise?
Sure.
Number 11, look for franchisors that are inclusive in their dealings with their franchisees. Look for franchises that have strong advisory councils and or franchisees represented on the franchisor's board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be part of a team and want to know what that your voice will be heard.
Right.
12, Marty, look for a franchisor that has a solid record of keeping its franchisees in business successfully. Some franchisors will move heaven and earth to help you succeed in business.
That's true. We've seen that, haven't we, since we've been doing the show.
Right. 13, you should expect your franchisor to have the human and financial resources to provide the support needed to give you the best chance of being successful. Too often, franchisors, like other growing companies, are short of money, people, or both. 14, you should expect your franchisor to be relatively litigation-free. Be sure that any litigation against the franchisor would not affect your ability to do business.
Mm-hmm.
15, your franchisor should be using technology and communications to keep you ahead of the competition. Don't underestimate the importance of this. If a franchisor is slow to embrace new technology, you could suffer.
Right.
That's a good point. And the last one, 16, expect your franchisor to be selective in whom they award franchises to.
Hmm.
Ask the franchisors that you are talking to how many people they turn down for a franchise and why.
That's an interesting question, yeah.
In part, the strength of the franchise system will be based on the quality of the people involved in that system. If a franchisor selects better franchisees, chances are the system itself will be stronger.
That's true.
Great point,
great
again,
article.
By
That's,
yeah, yeah, Howard Bassick.
Really fantastic. It's you know, as you're reading this, we really have to. I believe Howard is retired now, but I would still love to have him on the show, you know, as a
right.
special guest, you know, because he's just, of all the articles I've ever read, you know, since you and I have been involved in franchising for it's almost a decade now.
Right.
I really think he's one of the best as far as writing these articles, you know. So I'm going to see if I can get in touch with him and get him on the show.
Yeah. No, I've been wanting to read this for a couple of weeks. Just
yeah, I know you have, haven't you? Yeah. Well, glad we finally got to it. But today, Don, we have a great show, as we were saying earlier. We have very special guest, Tarek Fareed. And Tarek is the CEO and founder of Edible Arrangements International. And today, Edible Arrangements has more than 730 locations and have been named by Inc. and Entrepreneur magazines as one of the fastest-growing franchises of 2006 and also 2007, and one of the top franchise systems in Entrepreneur Annual Franchise 500 magazine.
And a whole lot more. It's a great way to embellish your bouquet
arrangements
and add just a little bit of extra sweet. Ask about all of our chocolate-dipped fruit options when we return to your very important call.
Hey, Tarek, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hey, Tarek, how are you today?
Doing well.
Good, good. Tarek, joining us is my co-host Don Johnson, and I know you wanted to say hi, Don, to Tarek.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on the show, Tarek.
I'm
really
pleasure.
Excited about the show, and I just want on a side note, I've really enjoyed Diamond Financial working with your franchisees over the years. I think it's been over 4 years helping to finance them. So
It's been a great relationship. We appreciate everything that you've done for us too. And Marty, thank you very much for having me on this morning, and Don, you as well.
Tarek.
Thank you.
Don and I were saying earlier, Tarek, we were both customers to your franchise, so you know we're very excited to have you on the show this morning.
That's wonderful. That makes my job a little bit easier.
It does, absolutely, because we're both fans. So,
yeah, Tarek, I had some relatives who couldn't make a holiday where we always get together, and sometimes we don't always talk about all the relatives getting gifts for each other. So they got us a gift, and I'm thinking last second, what the heck can I get them? Pretty much the same day, we called up a local edible arrangements to where they live down in Florida, got it right over to them, and they were happy as heck. So,
excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. We just had one move in Easton, Pennsylvania, not too far from where I am, Tarek.
So That's right.
Yeah, you can see them all over the place now. It's really fantastic to watch.
It's been phenomenal. It's, you know, just the acceptance and you know, to be able to share some of the story with you. And Don's known about us a lot, and
right.
To be able to share this with your listeners and everything. It's wonderful. We've had a great run, and it continues. So
sure have.
I've seen the growth and just all the excitement of the franchisees opening up the business. Sometimes you don't always see that, but as always, it's been pretty common, Tarek, people investing in edible are just very excited. And, you know, it makes it a little easier because it's always just a lot of emotion involved in starting up a business.
Oh, it's a tough thing. You know, it's a big, you know, for majority of our franchisees, I would say about 90%, you know, the franchisees we have, they did not have business experience before. It's a very, very big step.
Right.
And, you know, we could relate back to the day we started our first business, and we try to connect the same way with every franchisee, and it helps. It helps a lot.
And that's really incredible when you think about it, because I know with your franchise, I mean, as far as I know, there's been zero failure rate, and that's really just incredible, because usually in a franchise system with such growth, there's, you know, going to be something happening, you know, not always the franchisor's fault, but... to have people with limited to no business ownership experience to have this type of track record, it just says a lot about the system you set up.
Thank you.
It's been a nice diversity too. It sounds like of your franchisees, Tarek. You know, in studying edible arrangements, you know, I mean, it sounds like it's been lawyers and accountants and just a nice mix. You know,
a very nice mix to a point. Even to a point where it surprised us in the beginning. And I remember when we started franchising in the beginning, I had no franchise experience. I mean, I was a retailer, and I was making this product with my brother and delivering it. And you would have people coming up and saying, I want to buy a franchise. And, you know, Don could appreciate this because he's been here for a while. I remember talking to Michael Saeed and everyone. And, somebody would say, I'm a lawyer. I don't want to be a lawyer anymore. And so they go, wait a minute, you want to go from a lawyer and cutting fruit? It doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
You know, and then we have some of these people in our system right now, and they're very, very successful business people. And I have the utmost admiration for them too. You know, where I kind of was hesitant, and I remember I always share a story with people that I had some people come in the beginning, and I was convincing them not to buy because I really didn't want them to fail.
Right.
And I thought they had good careers and things like that, but they turned out to be incredible franchisees where they own 5, 6, 7 stores, so they do great.
Yeah, this is a perfect example of if you just follow the system, no matter what your background is, and usually age might not have to do with it much either. Of course, the older you are, more experienced, maybe you have a little bit of an advantage, but really, you just follow the system, you know, you train them and everything, a very high chance of being successful.
That's really the secret. I mean, I have we do our discovery days, and I always try to share that with even the prospects. So whatever system you go into, you know, there's a reason you're buying a franchise. And one of my most successful franchisees, who was our third store, I walked into his store after about a year of convincing him how to do it, and he was a successful businessman before that, and he always gave me a bit of a hard time. And then, you know, he kind of saw that we were going in a certain momentum, and he started to follow, and he sat in front of his whole crew one day and said, okay, guys, from now on, whatever these guys say goes. However they say it, we do it. We don't question it, and when their trainers come in or they come in, and he is the most successful franchisee in our system. He is single-handedly the most successful franchisee in our system. And all it is that as he's duplicated, his concept from one store to two to three to four, he followed that simple formula. And, you know, the burden was on us to make sure that we provide him the solutions, provide him the support, be it him, his managers, and from that he benefited. And he's, you know, he may have 1 or 2 years of experience of running the stores. We had 5 or 6 by then. So that's exactly what it has done, and it does work every time.
Yeah, that's a great story, Tarek, because it's been a common theme on our show, Don, hasn't it, where we've had some of the most successful franchisees to some pretty big systems, and they've all said the same thing, Tarek, is all they did was just follow the system, you know. They didn't change anything, and became very successful, you know, so that's great to hear.
And especially if it's working, if you're getting on board a system that is working, that is growing, you know, what do they say? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, so
absolutely.
Why do anything? Just take advantage of it. And I always use that analogy of, you know, with some of our franchisees to say, you know, I hate to take it down to this level, but it is kind of a kindergartner slash sixth grader effect, where I've been in this building 6 years, so I kind of know every corner and the nook and cranny, and I know how the principal, what he likes and what he doesn't like. You need to learn, so let me teach you. You know, so you're coming in, and then you see, and you see some incredible transformation. We have some incredible stories, and I'm sure every franchise system does. And the success that we have, you know, it has to do with these, you know, these great franchisees that we've had that have taken on and actually listened and applied some of the policies and procedures and technologies and other things that we created to make them successful.
Right. I guess, Tarek, sometimes, you know, yourself or your staff, if you see a prospect maybe sometimes a little too entrepreneurial, you know, I guess you really have to, you know, speak to them to let them know that, you know, it might not be a fit, you know, with your company.
We used to do, I remember in the beginning doing that a lot to let people know that, you know, I love your passion, I love your energy and everything, but you keep talking about your experiences and how you've done stuff. There may be a bit of a conflict there. We may always get into a bit of a tussle. So you have to look at this, that we have systems and standards, and we've experimented with these. We've actually mastered them, and we've proven them at multiple times. So you may want to turn around and try it a different way, but it's really not going to work. More, not necessarily only for yourself, but for the total success of the system, because there is consistency in everything, and we know what's going to work. So we have those conversations, but once you get to a certain number, a certain mass in your system, that comes up less and less. And I think there's a class of prospects or franchisees or new owners that start coming to you after a while to say, look, I want to duplicate what you've done. How do I do it? And they don't want to turn around and start from scratch. And and that was great when we started to get a lot of existing franchise prospects, meaning they had other, they were in other systems, and when they came into our system, they found success very, very quickly because they had gone through those processes, and we gave them some tools that they did not have before, and they saw some benefits that they had not seen before, or had already gone through the process where we didn't really need to explain, and you know, and they turned their stores around very, very quickly.
Yeah, I guess you knew that you were really onto something at that point. Probably already felt the edible concept was going well, but when you have other franchisees from other systems looking to diversify and go with edible, I guess that was a, you know, pretty good feeling for you.
That's right. That's right.
Something. Tarek, we always like to start off by asking our guests, where are you calling from today?
I'm at our headquarters in Wallingford, Connecticut.
Oh, fantastic. And can you describe what an arrangement from Edible Arrangements is and provide a little background on the company?
Yeah, Edible Arrangements is like an artistically designed floral arrangement that's the perfect gift for every occasion. And when I say every, I really mean every now, because a while back, customers always related us to some occasions, but over the last 3-4 years, we've really grown our arrangement base. And Edible Arrangements is, right now it's part of the three of the America's fastest growing industries of the fruit, specialty goods, and gift giving. And, you know, we actively are growing our franchise base. We've gone over the last 4 to 5 years from about 30, you know, between 20 to 30 stores to over about 830, 840 right now.
Right.
Who buys arrangements, Tarek, from Edible Arrangements?
It's everyone. I mean, there is a cross spectrum. Most of the decision maker who we're going after is the gift giver in the family. It would be the mother, you know, a female between the age of 25 to 50. But with the vast variety of products that we have now, and some of the occasions and some of the holidays that we offer for, such as Valentine's Day, it is no longer just a certain one category or two. It's everyone that's buying our arrangements now. And with the chocolate covered strawberries, we have some great, you know, chocolate-dipped fruits, all different fruits, from apples to chocolate-covered strawberries to pineapple, that, you know, makes it a quick pickup, a quick gift for almost any occasion. So it's a variety of people and for a variety of occasions.
You know, what's nice for the franchise, I guess a big selling point for someone to invest in edible, you know, is the whole corporate side and, you know, business gift. You know, it's just not for consumers. It's
very big part of our business right now, and to a point we're actually actively going after it now, where we're starting to offer solutions. We've just launched our corporate collection, which was after many years of seeing trends where people were sending simple gifts for a thank you after a meeting, a doctor's office sending it to to a referral, or a parent sending it after a child is born to the hospital or something.
Right.
Myself. I mean, it's a product that we came up with, and it's our own company. But I send it a lot, and we still find that wow effect, and that's what our customers continue to say, and even our corporate customers continue to say that we send this, and people are just blown away, and everyone can enjoy it. Everyone kind of digs in. We open it up, and it sits in the middle of the lunch table, and everyone digs in, and everyone goes for the chocolate covered strawberries or chocolate dipped fruit first, and it walks away happy.
Right.
So it is a very big question, especially now that we have some of our individual line or the smaller arrangements, such as our Daisy line, what we call our Daisy line. Our Daisy line is a smaller arrangement for a quick gift, just a quick thank you after an interview or to send to someone to, remind them of a special day. We have a lot of our corporate clients sending that for an anniversary of one of the employees or a birthday of one of the employees, and that works out really good.
Yeah, the whole feel-good aspect to it. Any franchisee or any business, it's such hard work. It's tough. You have rough days, but I guess the upside, just seeing people being happy, to get that product is, could be a nice pick-me-up for that franchisee.
Yeah, and I like how you mentioned too the wow factor, Tarek. Because I mean that was our reaction when we got our first edible arrangements. As you open the door, you said, "Wow," it's and that's not easy to do today. To wow a customer. That's fantastic.
That's very important to us, and it will continue to be very important. And as we innovate and come up with new arrangements, we always keep that in mind, that somebody is sending this as a gift to make an impact, and it should definitely make an impact. And a lot of our customers send multiple times, so you place an order once. So we always have a variety of arrangements and variety of different variations. To an arrangement, you can put different things in it to make sure that wow factor, stays there.
Right. There's a lot of repeat business, it sounds like.
Definitely.
That's fantastic.
Tarek, do edible arrangements gifts offer any benefits besides being something new and different?
An arrangement from edible arrangements is it is a perfect gift, like I said, for any occasion. I'm from the floral industry, and the beauty portion of it, that you got flowers and they were beautiful and you looked at them and it pleased someone. With edible arrangements, not only do you get that, but you also get that delicious factor afterwards where everyone digs in. I was actually flying a little while ago and somebody was sitting next to me and says, "Oh, edible arrangements, yeah, I sent one. Not only did my wife love it, but everyone, including my kids, enjoyed it." So it was a great gift. And when I went home, she was so happy we got it, and the kids were happy. So it makes a big impact. And then, one of the factors that we have always pushed, and it is very, very important right now, is the nutritional, the nutritious, and the all-natural. I mean, all of us, and myself, everyone's looking to push our kids and push our family to live healthy, eat healthy. So our product, we make it without any preservatives. We do not have any preservatives or sweeteners or anything. It's all just all natural fruit. And like, somebody said a few days ago, all we do is fruit. That's all. We arrange the fruit, and there's no guilt factor except for a little chocolate here and there, which, we're coming to find out has some benefits as well.
Right.
So, there are many benefits, especially when you're sending gifts, and in the gift realm, there may not be that many choices when it comes to healthy, but edible arrangements definitely is a very, very healthy choice.
What is it, Marty, your doctor always says? You go for your checkup for the year, and you say you've been feeling tired, down. The doctor said get more sleep and have more fruits and vegetables.
There you go. There you go.
Was it the old one, the apple a day?
Right.
It's the doctor away. And there's been an increased consumption, in fresh fruit, right, Tarek? I guess one of the big trends here in the U.S. is you see that a lot.
And we can easily see that many other systems and many other franchise systems that are carrying products other than fruit are adding fruit to their lines and everything.
Exactly.
Go towards this healthy trend. Five fruits a day is making a big push. And, I find myself, my wife, and we find ourselves pushing our kids a lot. You put a lot of fruit in them. You try to cut a lot of the other items. And that plays really nice into some of the things that we've done. And how our kids' collection started. We have kids and, kids at heart by edible arrangement. It's you know, SpongeBob, Disney, a lot of these characters that we've used, and now you have a fruit arrangement that looks like a flower arrangement that now the kids can go. And we just had one at our house because my daughter is kind of moving on from the eighth grade to high school, and she had a little graduation thing, and it was just such a hit. I mean, and this is in our house, a lot of these, you know, arrangements are arriving a lot of times, but, you know, their friends come over and they all want to dig in and, you know, go for the strawberries or go for this, and then they're all admiring the SpongeBob container because that's what my daughter likes.
That's fantastic. How much do the arrangements from Edible Arrangements cost, Tarek, and where can customers order them?
The arrangements come in various sizes. You know, from, we have boxed fruit, which can range from about $25 of different fruits such as pineapple, chocolate dipped strawberries, dipped apple, and a variety of other fruits, all the way to about $240. The median price, though, where majority of our customers are ordering, is around $65 to $75, depending on the area. And the $240 arrangement, such as our banquet, serves as many as 40 people. And sending a gift from Edible Arrangements is very, very simple. We've actually made the whole process very simple. And our focus on customer service has always stayed. They can walk into any of our 700 some odd locations that are open right now. We do have some under construction, or call our customer call center, which is 1-877-DO-FRUIT, and also order online. I mean, we see more and more people going to our website at ediblearrangements.com and placing orders for holidays or every day. You know, we make it very easy.
It is, you know, very simple. That's like I told my story before. It was very easy and fast, and because I did that, I'm expecting my relative to do something better for me next year.
There you go.
There you go. Tarek, can you explain? Don and I were talking a little earlier about fruitation. If you could talk a little bit about that.
Over the years, people grabbed onto the all natural and the easy and the good tasting product of Edible Arrangements, and you know, as we started to open up more and more of our locations in high visibility areas, people would come in and ask, you know, what can I get? You know, is there something that I can take right now? And that's where fruitation was born from. It's a fast, what we called fast fruit. So it kind of plays into that fast food type of concept. It's a fast fruit concept offering a variety of grab and go fruit, snacks and meal replacements that are made to order. I mean, you could get a fruit salad and you could pick the fruit you would like in it. You could get a what we call a fruity. It's a fresh fruit smoothie, which is quite a spin on the smoothie because it's fresh fruit. You see the fruit going in to the smoothie with all natural, no sugar. We do not use any sugar or anything. So we're trying to follow the tradition that we've set on Edible Arrangements. And then the fruitation stores, either you will find them within Edible Arrangements. A lot of the Edible Arrangement stores are now adding fruitation, or standalone in high traffic areas such as malls or strip centers, and maybe one day of airports and other areas and everything. It provides a unique and a healthy option that is built upon, like I said, about the Edible Arrangements reputation, and we want. We want the consumer to experience it in a fast fruit, a quick meal, the experience that they get from Edible Arrangements.
Yeah, I think that's very smart, Tarek, of course, because that seems like a niche type of industry that's really been growing. Why not take advantage of that, especially a nice, healthy drink and so forth. I imagine over the last few years, Tarek, with the growth of Edible, that you've been offered maybe some co-branding type relationships. Has that happened?
Co-branding within Edible Arrangements, such as for some of our products. I mean, some things that we've done is what I talked about earlier with some of the bigger players, such as the Kids Line, the Nickelodeon, the Disney, with some of those arrangements. That we are offering for the children as a healthier alternative to some of the occasions and celebrations that they have.
I think, Marty, you mentioned before, it seems like you've been featured yourself in Edible on other shows, cable, magazines. It's been a lot over the last few years for you, right, Tarek?
We've gotten some amazing press, and We've just gone national TV. This was our first year that we actually went on national TV and have seen some tremendous growth because of that. And we started to feature our product. We had a presence all over the country, so it was time to reach out using one of the major medias to advertise and to tell people about our great product. And from it, we did our first run back in February, and we're doing our second flight of TV spots going forward. But from some of the other publications and some of the acknowledgments we've gotten, this year we made on the Entrepreneur 100, we made number 27, and by Inc. and some of the other magazines, we've been rated as one of the fastest growing companies, and so just some great press on that, and just some great acknowledgment.
Yeah, definitely great accomplishments. I know this is going back about a year ago. I think you were on the cover of one of the franchise magazines. Was it Area Developer, maybe?
No, I think it was a Franchise Update.
Franchise Update. Were you pretty happy the way you looked on the cover there, Tad?
I don't think you're ever happy the way you look. it's long. I think those long hours start to come out, and start to show.
You mentioned before your background was in the floral industry. Maybe talk about that a little bit before Edible.
Yeah, I started out in retailing when I was really young. I used to work when I was, probably when I shouldn't have been working. I used to work at a local flower shop, helping them out, watering plants and taking orders and doing some of those things. That's why my experience in the retail business that was right near our house. And when I was about 17, my father, borrowed some money and took a cash advance and everything and helped me to buy a flower shop in East Haven, Connecticut. It was about a 600-square-foot store, a tiny little store doing about $100 a day in sales. And within a few years, we kind of took that concept from there to multiple stores, and went from doing maybe $49,000 the first year in sales to go close to $1 million within 2 to 3 years. So I was only 18, 19, and then from there I got into the computer industry and started Edible Arrangements in 1999, same place in East Haven, Connecticut again, and with a small store. And in the beginning, we started out by creating a lot of the products and everything ourselves and delivering the products ourselves. In the beginning, it was just myself, my brother, and maybe one other employee. We would, you'd get up early in the morning, go pick up fruit, run to a store, make the arrangements, deliver the arrangements, and then just grow. But what we did from the beginning was to design the system in a way that it could be duplicated easily, and to learn from all the experiences we had in the gift-giving industry of the floral industry to make sure that we, dot our I's and cross our T's and everything, what are the components that are needed to make somebody successful. And we built our first store, and we grew our first store, and then we wanted to build a second store. We built our second store in Norwalk, Connecticut, and we built it just like a franchise, as a franchisee would. Right. And that took us about a year. At the same time, we started having people. We were not offering franchises. So we had people knocking on our door saying, hey, we want a franchise. At the same time, we started creating the technology, the point-of-sale system, the franchise support system, a lot of the marketing support systems, everything from how we're going to deliver content to the franchisee, how the franchisees are going to manage their business, what systems do they need to be able to focus on growing their business instead of being in the store and worrying about, what came in, what needs to go out, create systems. So we have a very robust point-of-sale system, very robust franchise support system that we launched through a company called NetSolace that I founded back when I started Edible Arrangements. And so the two have done very well together. And a lot of those technologies that we created, such as our new store management, we had a very small staff in the beginning, and we had this tremendous growth. And a lot of people will tell me, how are you going to handle this growth? But, we were blessed to have, have the foresight to create some of these systems that helped us to sustain, not only sustain the growth, but be able to handle a lot more. I mean, we're a system right now. We have about 730 stores open. Another 100 will open this year. And most of our stores have opened up. And, the turnaround time is very quick.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point you brought up. I imagine every franchisor goes through that burst of growth, and some, I guess the good ones will have the manpower in place to adjust to that. Seems like that's what you did, Tara?
That's right. And not only the manpower, but I think the trends were changing. The technology was becoming easier to use. The technology was becoming very accepted, not only by the prospective franchisee, but it was almost a necessity. So, you know, you were defined by the systems that you had, the assistance that you had. Right. So having that background and creating those systems and putting everything together where a franchisee could get that great experience right from the beginning and know that not only am I going to have great support, but look at all these things that I have that I can take benefit from. Kind of following the formula, say we're 3 years ahead. That doesn't mean you have to go through those 3 years of mistakes. Here's how you do it, and here's how you will catch up to us within a year of following these systems. And then providing tools where the franchisee doesn't need to figure a lot of these things out. And also setting up our back end to make sure that we're collecting everything, we're providing everything, we're getting all the feedback from the franchisee, and we can adjust things quickly, have our supply chain management in place right from the beginning. So a lot of those things were done and created, and that's what helped us. Not only just manpower, because manpower sometimes tends to be, I've been listening to some of your shows, and I know you have some people who are just starting out a franchise or new in franchising. And in the beginning, you don't tend to have that much money to be able to do this. So you need to leverage a lot of the items, a lot of the technology and other things that are out there to provide some incredible support. And these days, you could do some fascinating things using technology.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Has your training kind of evolved over the years? Is it pretty similar to when you first started out, or that's come a long way too?
Oh, a long way. We offer many systems right now, and as I said earlier, a person can experience inedible arrangements for almost any occasion. In the beginning, people would kind of call and say, well, you know, is this appropriate for a birthday? I mean, now we're going out and introducing all these occasions, and when that happens, you have variety of arrangements, variety of processes of making these arrangements. We have holidays, such as you have Valentine's. We have stores making 700 arrangements in one day.
Wow.
You know, at an average clip of about $70 or $74, that's some serious amount of business the store has to do in a single day. We need to provide them tools to be able to handle every aspect of that.
Right.
And so we do that by having a very, very robust training program, be it from the beginning and also continuing on by providing them updates and everything. And, you know, ours is a bit of a unique concept. It's not that the person who's coming into it has an experience to say, well, I've worked at a pizza place, I know a bit of how it is. Where in ours, we have to teach from scratch. And in franchising, when you're starting out early, there is a turnover factor. So we keep addressing that, and we're about to launch another training system right now that's going to help us to redefine our industry one more time.
Yeah, because sometimes people forget training is so much more. Like in your case, just putting together a fruit arrangement. It's training people on everything because most have never owned a business before.
That's right.
Run the operation, the business from A to Z, everything you're teaching your franchisee, so they get out there and they have that confidence and can get going right away.
That's right. I mean, from taking an order, this is a large ticket item. It is not a $3 sandwich or $4 sandwich. I mean, you have a $70. It's an emotional connection of the customer. You have to listen. You have to make sure that they get the right product and they get the price. They're satisfied at the end of it. It's made properly. It's fresh. It's delivered in time. And then, after that, all the other aspects of managing your business. So you have to have all those things. So the training is very, very involved. Our training program for franchisees is about 3 weeks right now. And then after that, we're constantly training. And now we're looking to create something where we will be training in real time all the time. So our training department will have access to the franchisee and their employees in real time every single day. Anytime they can send out something, and they'll be able to view it, review it in real time, and implement it right away.
That's fantastic.
I was just thinking, Tarek, what your company policy is for each franchisee when they're buying the fresh fruit, the whole fresh fruit. Is that something each franchisee just handles locally? Is there some type of, is that something that, corporate handles for them on some type of national type of agreement?
We have two things in place. We have our supply chain management from which our franchisees will go and order a lot of our products that are sold within our stores. So a vendor will be approved to be on our supply chain management. Once they're there, it's very easy for the franchisees to go into our franchise support system, which we which we call Socket France Support or France Support. When they go into our franchise support system, from there they can see and the vendors can tell them about specials and other things, but they can place orders and track the order. Right. And from there we have a new program called our Fresh Program, because fruit is the most important component in our arrangements, the freshness of it, the quality of it.
Right.
So we have vendors throughout the country that are approved to be a fresh fruit vendors or a fresh program vendors, and our franchisees simply go online to our fresh program and they place an order with that vendor, and then the fruit is delivered, and it has to meet the criteria that Edible Arrangements has set.
Just from working closely with your company with financing, what was it, like a year or two ago, there was like a strawberry shortage or scare, something like that?
From time to time, you may have only heard of one, but, from time to time, a lot of it happens. I mean, you have issues with strawberry at one point or cantaloupe at another time, and it's just like any other industry.
Right.
go through, it's a very seasonal product. It is very climate affected and everything, so that's our job to manage and help our franchisees to make sure they're able to manage through that time.
That's probably the most popular of all the fruits across the board, probably the strawberry.
Oh, of course. It adds the nice red to everything,
Right.
That's great. What are your sales projections, Tarek, for 2008?
We expect our system-wide sales this year to hit about $300 million, and we were about $190 last year.
That's incredible. What's the best way? We have about 2 minutes, Tarek. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on Edible Arrangements? Can they call? Should they go to the website?
Oh, of course. I mean, they can call our, if they want information on franchising, they can call our franchise 800 number, which is 1-888-727-4258, or they can just simply go to ediblearrangements.com and just hit on the franchising link, and they can find out a lot about our company from our franchise link. And also, if somebody wants to experience our product, it's simple as calling 1-877-DO-FRUIT or go to ediblearrangements.com, and view our different products, place an order, and, let us wow someone.
Right,
fantastic, yeah. Well, Don and I want to both thank you, Tarek. You've been an incredible guest, and we'd like to have you back in the very near future, and we're going to continue watching your growth.
Thank you very much, Marty and Don. It was a pleasure being on your show.
Thank you very much, Tarek. Good luck, and we'll see you on the cover of the next Franchise Magazine soon.
Thank you very much. I wish you both the best as well.
Thanks so much, Tarek. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah. I mean, like we knew it would be. It's a very interesting person talking about such a niche, popular type of product. It's just you're right that the whole wow factor. I mean, you get an Edible Arrangements gift, and you're instantly happy.
Absolutely, it's one of the things I teach my marketing students is to be obsessed with wowing a customer. Not many businesses do that, and I remember the first time we got one. It was our reaction was, wow, it's just such a great concept,
I've seen firsthand just the whole growth, how it's taken off. I mean, our company's fielded thousands of calls over the years, people calling us interested in financing. So
yeah, and it's great to watch that growth,
I always find it interesting. I'm glad we always ask that question of what was somebody's background before they started, and usually their tools and experience will carry over to some degree, and what they're successful in now, what franchise they have now.
And that's what happened in this case, so which is fantastic. So another great job, Don. And again, for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, go to franchisefunding.net, go to gofranchise.com, and again, we have a bunch of great shows coming up over the next month, month and a half, don't we, Don?
Yeah, of course, very exciting. Just a wealth of information in the franchising industry continued to be coming over the next few weeks. So hopefully
we're approaching that 90 mark on shows, so it's just going to be over 90 hours of show recordings. It's just incredible.
Like maybe when we hit our 100th show, Tarek will send us a Edible Arrangement.
There you go. Yeah. Well, the 100th show is going to be, I guess you could say, a milestone, and slowly approaching our 2 years of doing franchise interviews. It's just an incredible experience. And now we have, we have our podcast. Now we've done 5 podcasts up to this point of great quotes in franchising, which is on our website, and just so much more to come. So the future is just getting very, very exciting.
Yep, definitely. So good job, Marty.
Good job, Don, and I'll talk to you next week.
Excellent. Okay.
Take care.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.